It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. The next presidential primary comes just as the economy emerges as a major issue. And the next state up is going through big economic changes. Republicans vote Saturday, Democrats a week later in South Carolina. It's the birthplace of one presidential candidate, John Edwards.
In my hometown, the mill that my father worked in, and the people that I grew up with, that mill's closed now. The jobs are gone.
We visited two parts of South Carolina where people lost those mill jobs. One area is struggling. NPR's Adam Davidson found another place where people are prospering, which is where, Adam?
It's in the northwest corner of the state. It's around Greenville and Spartanburg. And what I learned is when you're there, if you want to get people really mad at you, quote John Edwards about the economy of South Carolina. They, first of all, it's a largely Republican area, but more than that, they are furious at the idea that South Carolina is nothing but a bunch of laid off textile workers. They say this is an area that has made the move into the 21st century and is doing well. Just for an example, I talked to Bunny Richardson. She's a native South Carolinian and a spokesperson for BMW's plant in Spartanburg.
If I'm forceful and you think I'm getting angry, it's because it's stereotypical and it's not accurate for the entire state.
Much of South Carolina is doing well. Tourism is booming on the coast, and up in the Northwest, what they call upstate or the I-85 corridor, things were not at all what I expected. There are hundreds of high-tech, good-paying factories here. BMW has a plant. But as Richardson says,
BMW was the 76th German company to come into South Carolina.
This was no accident. In the 1950s, some leading Greenville businessmen got together and came up with a plan. They realized that the textile business wasn't going to last forever, so they started going to Europe. They'd fly to Paris and Frankfurt and sell the virtues of upstate South Carolina. The area has almost no union activity, which many companies like. It's well located, and the sales pitches really worked. By the 1960s, the area was filling up with French and German and Dutch-owned companies. Later, Asian firms came. I went to AFL Telecommunications, a Japanese-owned company that makes fiber optic cables. Rebecca Jennings is running the machine that coats the cables in plastic.
You have compound, and you have the color chips that drop down. They're heated up. Comes to the extruder here.
It's a ridiculously complicated machine that Jennings runs by herself.
I don't understand all of it, but I understand it enough to run it.
Jennings has been here for 12 years, and she still can't quite believe it. She's 57 and spent most of her life in one of those textile mills. Her whole family worked there, but she didn't make much money.
There was no savings plan, no 401k. Benefits, you know, not really good at all.
So one day she saw an ad in the paper and applied for this job. She had never heard of fiber optics. She says it's the best thing she ever did. Tom Quantrell says there are tens of thousands of people just like Jennings, former textile workers now making more in high-tech factories. He runs Advanced Composite Materials, which makes a kind of artificial diamond used to cut and shape jet engine parts. He remembers a few years ago when a bunch of textile factories closed all at once.
We literally went to these firms and said, look, we want to hire some of the best people you got. And we weren't alone. In fact, it was a fair amount of competition for getting some of the best people at these places.
South Carolina as a state is among the poorest. Unemployment is higher than national averages. Income is lower. But the upstate region where I was, it is the opposite. Incomes are higher than the U.S. on average. Unemployment is lower. The statistics seem to confirm this story people kept wanting to tell me. This area, where a quarter of South Carolinians live, has made the transition to a post-textile economy really well.
We're listening to NPR's Adam Davidson. And Adam, as we're about to hear, not all parts of South Carolina are doing so well, which is going to raise the question, what's the difference between a town that recovers and a town that doesn't?
I found this really fascinating. To understand the difference between upstate and less successful parts of the state, you really have to go back a century or two. Upstate is very mountainous. It never had much agriculture. Slavery didn't really, there wasn't as much slavery there. So it was able to industrialize more quickly and thoroughly. Its society was able to transform more quickly than other parts of the state. And then it has this huge advantage that it's located between these mega growth cities of Atlanta and Charlotte.
Okay, thanks very much, Adam. Interesting to hear you say that auto plants are among the firms changing the upper part of South Carolina, because we've also been visiting people just a couple hours away who wish they had a plant in their town.
I pray every day, like I said, for a car company to come to this area, and we pray for it. So you got to say prayers for us, okay?
You pray every day for a car company?
For a car company to come to. It's got every job you might want.
Now, the woman praying is Linda Burke, who directs the unemployment office in Lancaster, South Carolina, which is busy because Lancaster has not replaced its thousands of lost textile jobs. The main company here was Springs Industries, which might have produced the spring-made sheets on your bed. Its employees included Fred Salters and his wife, and before that, his mom.
Everybody here, my mom told me when I considered going somewhere else to work, she thought I was crazy. She says, there is no other place to work. You have to go to work at Springs.
We met Fred Salters in his kitchen, where he showed us a bird in his cage and served us coffee. His elderly mother lay asleep in the living room, so Salters spoke softly, explaining his family's long history with the area's textile mills.
I operated an old 7070 computer. It would fill up, that computer would fill up two of these rooms, and it wouldn't do as much as a PC will do today.
Now, is it strange at all to work for this company during all these years, knowing that it's part of an industry that was clearly going through a lot of change?
Well, they spent a lot of time and money trying to convince us that, you know, change was good. And I think change was good for the company. But it wasn't necessarily good for the employees who were going to be pushed out of jobs.
Did the company back free trade agreements?
Yes. Yes. They encouraged us to back it.
How'd they encourage you?
Well, they even bought T-shirts for us to wear on certain days that says we support NAFTA.
And that helps explain why Fred Salters is skeptical of what politicians tell him even today. He says he will vote in this month's presidential primary, but he's not happy about his choices. Like many people in this town, he's been out of work since Springs sent the jobs to Brazil.
So what is your income right now?
I was afraid you would ask that. I don't know. I have no income. I have no income whatsoever.
Since he was laid off more than a year ago, Fred Salters has trained for a completely different life as a nurse's assistant.
They can't send nursing across the border. They can't send it south.
He's come to use his new skills at home. His mother has Alzheimer's.
You know, it doesn't seem like you can find anything good in any of these layoffs, but I'm laid off now, and I can help with my mom. She's total care. Only thing she can do is pick up a spoon and feed herself.
What are some things you've learned to do that you do for your mom?
Oh, gosh. Just simple things like moving her from a chair to a bed, or a wheelchair to a chair.
How to do that comfortably.
How to do that without hurting her. I have to bathe her. She can't do that herself. Have to remind her. She has forgotten how to sneeze. That sounds so strange.
Fred Salters of Lancaster County, South Carolina, is one of many people facing life without careers. And tomorrow we'll hear how more people in that area are adapting to a changed economy.